Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Right now, we welcome in former Boise State quarterback, also did coach in college football for a bunch of years, the head coach at Western Kentucky, was the interim at Colorado. Now he's doing a great job in the high school sidelines, and he's also a radio host as well. What can this guy not do? He is our pal Mike Sanford, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Coach, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for it. How you been?
I've been great, Zach. Great to hear your voice, man. And gosh, it's about time for 5 days of football heaven, right? It's including I got my own semifinals here in Colorado. Valor Christian High School taking on Cherry Creek in a semifinal playoff. So just happy football to all who observe at all levels. It's a great time of year.
Well, tell me about your team a little bit. I know you guys are doing well. I know we've been in contact throughout the season, but tell the listening audience a little bit about your squad.
Yeah, the crazy thing, man, in Colorado high school football is not exactly Texas, Florida, or California, Georgia. But neat deal is Cherry Creek High School, who we're playing up against this week, their head coach is actually the voice of the Denver Broncos, does the play-by-play and color a lot of times on the radio for the flagship for the 9-2 Denver Broncos. Dave Logan played for the Broncos. He's a legend, absolute icon. He's been, I think he's won 12 state championships in Colorado. But the matchup between our two teams, Valor Christian, where I coach, is where Christian and Luke McCaffrey went to high school. Also, Roger Rosengarten, starting tackle guard, I think, for the Baltimore Ravens. But there's going to be probably 20 Division I football players on the field between our two programs. So, I'm looking forward to the challenge of that. We just beat, Boston College commit quarterback was unbelievable this past week. DJ Bordeaux, who had 240 yards rushing on us, so we survived barely. But high school football, man, I've really enjoyed it. It's good in the state of Colorado, and I think there's a lot of states that you can stay at. I recruited for a long time across the country, and you'd go to certain schools in states that weren't known for football per se at the high school level, and you're like, this is good ball, man. There's some good players on the field, and that's kind of what I'm experiencing.
Well, let me keep you in the state of Colorado. Jim Mora has left UConn, and he's departing to go take over Jay Norvell, who used to be at Colorado State. What did you make of the hire? You know, UConn the last 2 years, they've had back-to-back 9-win seasons, so it's been a very impressive job by Jim Mora, who was coaching an independent.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough job, University of Connecticut. I coached against UConn when Bob Diaco was the head football coach there. And, you know, it's just a tough, there's not a lot of just natural talent in your backyard. And you can say that there's challenges, obviously, with Colorado State. But anybody here in the state of Colorado that's a CSU fan is over the moon about this hire. And a lot of people are then, you know, the CU Buffs fans that hate CSU are saying, well, if he's that great of a coach, why would he get a lateral job? And I would argue that's not a lateral job. The Pac-12 conference, I know it's not the old Pac-12 with Oregon and USC and Stanford in its heyday, but it's still you have a defined path forward to potentially make some noise in a college football playoff. And then I would also ask people, especially with maybe an East Coast bias where I know you do the show from and thinking that maybe UConn's a better job than Colorado State, I would ask you, have you spent extended time in Storrs, Connecticut versus have you spent extended time in the beer mecca, mountain mecca, sunshine all the time of Fort Collins, Colorado? And Jim Mora's 62 years old, I believe. You know, that stuff matters at this stage of your life. There's no doubt.
Yeah, and nothing against UConn. What they've been able to do the last 2 years is impressive. And I'm not sitting here saying that this new version of the Pac-12 is going to be like this mega conference, but at least you could build an identity there with that UConn. It's tough to really build that identity with their football program.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a football guy. You know this, Zach. I follow college football very closely, and I just assumed that the UConn was still in the AAC because their schedule is kind of a mixture of it's MAC, it's AAC, it's ACC. It's a hodgepodge. And kudos to that staff. Kudos to the kids that have been able to win football games and keep that program relevant. But ultimately, the guy you got to give credit to is Jim Mora, who rebuilt his career. And that's not easy to do. And so I think it's a great move for both Jim Mora, who, I don't know if you know this, but his father coached at the University of Colorado Boulder and then left to go be on Dick Vermeil's staff at UCLA. So just like me, I was the son of a USC coach that also coached at Stanford and the University of Utah. You know, Jim Mora is a West Coast guy by nature. So he is, in a sense, coming home to a place that he spent a majority of his lifetime as a child.
What's the feel in Boulder, Colorado? Coach Prime, the first year, right, started to take the college football world by storm with the three wins right out of the gate. Last year had a really good season. Travis Hunter won the Heisman Trophy. This is the first year without Travis and Shador, and the team just doesn't look good. Are some people jumping off the Coach Prime bandwagon, or is it, hey, at least the Buffs, even in a bad season, are still relevant, and they're going to give Coach Prime the benefit of the doubt?
Overall, I'd say the way that you'd sum it up is not good, Bob. It's not in a good space because even some of the key pieces that were once called Louis Vuitton, a lot of them, there's some rumors going around that Jordan Seaton, your prized offensive tackle, might be bound for one of the massive NIL collective type spots like University of Miami. He hasn't been playing the last few weeks. It's been a little bit ominous as it relates to what his actual injury is. I mean, I've heard some stuff that he may have shut it down. Juju Lewis, it's kind of you're stuck between a rock and a hard place with a guy like Juju because what you've seen hasn't been elite. Nothing about his game has looked fantastic. But yet, you know, you're talking about him preserving his redshirt potentially here at the end of the season. I don't really see what the path forward is with Juju here at CU, just because there's not enough tangible evidence that he is the guy that's gonna bring you back to the levels that you experienced with Shador Sanders, Travis Hunter, you know, and some of the other weapons that they had at the receiver position. I can see that receiver group that I think is really good between Drelon Miller and Amarian Miller trying to find a new home because they just haven't had much success, much fun this year throwing the football. So I don't see a lot of just optimism today, but you never know. Coach Prime's pulled a rabbit out of his hat before, so we'll see what happens next year.
Mike Sanford here with us on the coaching carousel, and we'll get to some of the games this weekend. Eric Morris leaving North Texas, going to take over at Oklahoma State. I know he's going to still coach North Texas through the completion of their season. But this guy's a QB whisperer. We've seen all the quarterbacks he's been around, and in replacing, Mike Gundy, I thought Eric Morris probably could have even got a bigger job than Oklahoma State. I thought Baylor should have fired Aranda to make him their next head coach, but it seems like that's a good next stop for one Eric Morris.
Yeah, you know what's funny is Oklahoma State, even in the absence of a living T. Boone Pickens, man, the pockets are so deep at that spot. And it seems like a place that everybody loves taking over a program that has really hit rock bottom but has resources, right? That's the perfect job. You never want to follow the guy. You want to follow the guy that followed the guy. And I don't even know what Gundy is because he was the guy and then he wasn't the guy. So you're kind of following the non-guy, which is a good thing, right? So I think Eric Morris was really smart in taking that Oklahoma State job. It's a great fit for him in terms of his recruiting chops there in the Texas North, kind of North Texas and Oklahoma region. It's a place that he knows well. I got to know him really well when I was recruiting the state of Texas for the likes of Boise State, Stanford, Notre Dame, when I was coaching at those spots.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I think he'll do a great job at Oklahoma State. He'll recruit. He does bring those air raid chops to his offensive background. But he is a guy that's always going to have a quarterback. He's always going to have a guy that's going to be playing at a high level. And I just think that not enough can be said about how good of a job Eric Morris has done. I got to know him when he was young. I remember running into him down in kind of south of Dallas a little bit. And he walks in, he's got his cool little stunner shades on, kind of looked like a young, Ryan Gosling, had short shorts on. I'm like, who is this frat bro, man, coming up? And at the time, I think he was coaching at, I think it was Texas Tech at the time. Talked to him, really cool cat, and probably didn't have head coach written all over him at the time. You look at him now, he looks like a weathered head football coach. He's aged like 50 years. So you know that dude's grinding and doing a really nice job. So I think he's going to be a good fit for OSU.
Gun to your head, on November 26th, what do you think Lane Kiffin does that we'll find out, I guess, on Saturday?
If he's intelligent, he doesn't take the LSU job. I think that is one of the most unrealistic jobs in college football. It's the kind of job where you can win a natty and then be fired 15 months later. The money's not that much difference. I mean, everybody's talking all about this, but the way that the governor got involved, how it all ended with Brian Kelly, there's some ugly things going on there. And you're looking at, I think a lot of people have this perception that Ole Miss is this poor program that can't pay its coaches. I mean, Lane Kiffin's the top 10 most compensated coach in college football. And you'd think that there are some deep pocketed boosters that A, would love to keep Lane Kiffin around at Ole Miss. All that money ties back into Memphis with that Ole Miss program and some of the money that historically has been in FedEx and some of the big businesses that are based out of Memphis, Tennessee, in the packaging industry and the freight industry. You'd think that they'd be willing to kind of even beefen up the pockets of the NIL collective in Oxford. And I think you'd be a legend, get a statue built with 2-3 more good seasons at Ole Miss. So if I'm Lane, I'm not touching LSU for what, $1-2 million, which sounds crazy to me and you, but when you're making 9.5 or whatever he's making right now, what's 11.2 when you're dealing with a program that has crazy expectations that just don't seem to ever be met?
Would you leave Ole Miss for Florida? I'm assuming if you're not leaving for LSU, you wouldn't then leave for Florida, right?
See, I think Florida's a better job. I think Florida's a better job right now, and it's because you're far removed from success, right? You haven't had real wild success, but yet you still are in Florida. And I like the backyard of Gainesville, like the surrounding, 4-hour drive from Gainesville is pretty phenomenal as well. And I know Louisiana has awesome players, but it's a different culture, man. It's a different football culture. And it's weird to think that really the last guy that felt like he really understood the Louisiana football culture was Mr. Louisiana himself, Ed Orgeron. So, I don't know. I don't see Lane Kiffin being the ultimate great fit at LSU, and they'll turn on you in a New York second if you're not one of them.
All righty. I know that before the season, you were talking about the expectations for Arch Manning were extremely unrealistic. You were right on that. Arch Manning could put lipstick on a pig, though, at the end of the year with a victory up against A&M. Do you have any confidence that Arch and company will be able to get the job done as they are home welcoming the Aggies coming up Friday evening?
Still got a lot of talent on that roster. A&M's done a really nice job of just finding ways to continually win games, even if it's not perfect. I think A&M wins this game. I think they win, but I think it's going to be it's going to come down to the wire. And I think ultimately, I think that you see Marcel's going to outplay Arch in the fourth quarter in a game that Colin Klein's the guy that I think is the man. He's the guy that I would have my eyes out on across the country for some of these really good jobs. I think he's the quarterback whisperer and potentially a great head coach. But it's got to be the right fit. I don't think he's an SEC head coach. Even though he's coaching as a coordinator, I think he'd be awesome in the Big Ten or maybe one of the better Big 12 jobs that come open in the next year or two.
Ryan Day, we know he dribbles down his leg in this Ohio State-Michigan game. It was ridiculous last year, and I say that as someone that's currently wearing a Michigan shirt. Will Ryan Day have history repeat itself here, or will he finally get this monkey off his back for what happened with the last few seasons up against Michigan?
I got Ohio State winning this game. They're too good. Roster's too good. Julian Sain's playing solid football. The Carlsbad California native, doing a nice job. My actually small world, my high school offensive coordinator was his head coach at Carlsbad High School. So I've been following his career for the last 7-8 years in high school and beyond. But I just think that overall Ohio State's better. And Michigan to me right now feels a little bit like USC felt a week ago.
Agreed.
Where they're just kind of just hanging around, lingering with some of the also-rans in the Big Ten that are good programs, but they're programs that historical programs like Michigan and USC should beat week in, week out. And they have. They've done that. But when you start playing the big dogs that are really investing in NIL, program development, I just don't think, just like USC couldn't hang with Oregon, I don't think that this version of Michigan is going to be able to hang with this version of Ohio State.
Miami, Notre Dame, if it comes down to it, I think the committee is going to put Notre Dame in, but who should they put in if Miami finishes the year 10-2 and then Notre Dame finishes the year 10-2, but Notre Dame lost to Miami? Should Miami be in?
It's awful to say, but I think Notre Dame's the better football team. I think that they started the season out with some defensive questions, a young quarterback that was finding his way. Notre Dame's really, really turned into a great football team this year. I think they're going to continue to make more noise in the postseason like they did a year ago. And I think their resume is bolstered by the fact that that they made a lot more noise than people probably gave them credit for what they would have done a year ago. So I think Notre Dame does indeed go in. Shoot, the ACC, man, it's just a bad conference. It's hard to really justify, a 10-2 team that didn't necessarily finish great down the stretch. So we'll see how it all plays out.
Can you see an upset in the Iron Bowl, Jordan Hare? You're going to see Auburn up against Alabama. Alabama's a 6.5-point favorite on the road. Does Kalen DeBoer basically punch his ticket to the playoff, getting them to 10-2?
Yeah, I think he will. I think he's done a nice job. It's a coach that I was worried about just because of not being the fit, and he's found a way to win games. Sort of has won the games that you should win. But, DJ Durkin and Auburn, man, I coach with DJ at Stanford. He is a motivating, wild man, old special teams coordinator. He's going to have Auburn ready to play. So I don't think that game's going to be a blowout by any stretch. But I just think that there's too much there with how Ty Simpson's playing. And I think Alabama, they've done a really nice job of just kind of just calming the waters a bit.
Now, let me be abundantly clear. I don't think Kalen DeBoer is leaving Alabama, but there's a bunch of Penn State fans out there that are rooting for Auburn to win this game, and then maybe Kalen DeBoer would leave Alabama for Penn State. If you were Kalen, would you abandon ship at Alabama and run to Happy Valley?
100% I would.
Wow.
And that's coming from personal experience of being a Yankee that doesn't speak like somebody down in the South. When you don't win right away, or if you have a rough patch and you sound like a guy that was raised in the Dakotas, nobody down in the deep South likes you and they want to get rid of you. And I think Kalen's already experienced that. I experienced that when I was a head coach at Western Kentucky. My first year, the first game, it's like, wow, this coach right here ain't it. he's not one of us. And sure enough, I wasn't one of them because I got fired the next year. So it's just the way it goes down the deep south, man. I think fit, cultural fit, regional fit, recruiting chops fit. I think that Penn State would be a much better fit for a guy like Kalen DeBoer than I think Alabama is going to ultimately end up being. And plus, let's just call a spade a spade. It was absolutely nuts to follow the you want to talk about following the guy. You go to Alabama right after Nick Saban, what are we doing here? And that's the challenge. I think Kalen DeBoer feels the weight of that even more than he probably leads on at any point.
Last thing I'll ask you, just out of all the teams that you think can make the college football playoff, who's the team or maybe a team or two that you're most curious to see how we're talking about them once the playoff is over?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's Dan Lanning in Oregon. It just seems like every year they're exciting. Dante Moore is a quarterback down. Like, I want to see him in some more big spots. I almost have like a bit of an incomplete grade right now on him, even though he's super talented and has a lot of upside. That's a team that I really want to see what they're really all about when it comes down to it.
Yeah, Oregon's one that is interesting to me. We already talked about Notre Dame. Georgia is too. I feel like everyone's sleeping on Georgia. They're 10-1.
I agree.
I get it. They lost to Alabama. They had that great fourth quarter up against Ole Miss. They had an unbelievable comeback against Tennessee. But since they had a lot of early, just not all that, great kind of games, and then they got helped out by the officials, I think everyone wrote them off. That's a team I wouldn't be shocked if they end up winning the whole thing.
Yeah, Georgia. I liked the DNA of Stockton. I like Gunnar Stockton's. I like him in a big spot.
It's almost like if Tim Tebow and Haynes King had a baby, Gunnar Stockton would be the offspring.
Here's the other piece: I think Gunnar Stockton is a better thrower of the football than people give him credit for, and I think that's going to show up in the playoffs. And so I agree. I like Georgia in that spot. I'm curious about Oregon. I'm a little bit more. I'd say I'm more pessimistic about Oregon, but then I'm curious about Georgia, but I'm more optimistic about them.
Yeah, and then the other team is Indiana, because they have been, rock stars, obviously, the last two seasons. And people still wonder. The coach thinks they can win a national championship. There's no doubt about that. But I still think there is some curiosity on what their apex could be from a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, I just think you get them matched up against the best that the SEC has to offer. Can they really go player for player down the roster? I don't know. I don't think that they could do it week in, week out. That's my question.
All right, he is Mike Sanford. Coach, good luck coming up the rest of the way. We appreciate the time.
Appreciate you, Zach. You're the man.
There you go. Great stuff there with Coach Mike Sanford joining us on the show. We'll take a timeout. We'll come on back after these short messages.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.